I know what we're about to dive into today. And just for the listeners out there, just to remind you, what the show is about is finding out people's number one healing experience, something that really shifted their lives. And so what I've been doing is
calling the cops on me,
waiting and drinking tea.
It's good tea, Nancy. It's good tea. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to unbutton my pants.
Oh, please. Please. This is an unbutton my pants kind of podcast.
Great.
Hi, my name is Nancy Hauer, and this is my number one.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Lenchies.
Do you have a yoga mat?
Yeah, I've got two right behind.
Great. We're going to need a yoga mat, a little face towel, a thing of lube, and gloves.
Oh, my God.
Latex gloves.
Okay.
Are you allergic to latex?
No.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, it's that kind of podcast. And for that reason, I would ask my nieces and nephews to turn this off now. I know you're still there, Clark. Seriously, you can't unhear this. Sam. Lucia. Okay, fair warning.
My number one is orgasmic meditation.
What in the world made me think that I should ask my friend Vanessa what her number one is? I knew what the answer was going to be. I knew what she was doing all year. Why? Why?
What is orgasmic meditation?
Orgasmic meditation is a partnered consciousness practice where one partner strokes the upper left-hand quadrant of the other partner's clitoris for 15 minutes with no goal.
What if you don't have a clitoris?
You will not be the stroked in the two if you do not have a clitoris. So the strokey position, the person being stroked always has to have a clitoris.
Oming, as it's called, orgasmic meditation, is done at a place called One Taste in Los Angeles, but you can also check it out online. And I still don't know if I'm gonna do it. I feel like I can learn all about it. Do I actually really have to do these?
And that, but we're not going to actually be touching each other.
No. We're just going to do a dry run.
Oh, my God.
Because sex is a taboo, ridiculously so, we never talk about it, ever. And so when you're young, your sexuality is basically like, I need to get fucked up enough where I can give myself permission to allow this part of myself to be expressed.
So the first step is
we're not touching.
I am not going to ask you to take off your pants or touch your genitals.
Wonderful, because I'm having my period and
you can own your period.
Ugh.
Whereas this container of this practice is, it's a safe thing. There are rules. There's nothing extra beyond just this 15-minute experience.
People have sexual trauma that comes up. People can't trust people. People have their relationship with the masculine or their relationship with the feminine that needs healing.
I've been hanging on to this episode for months. I've been really reluctant to do this one. I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I went to the Intro to Om class, I kind of couldn't help myself but, you know, judge everyone else there, even though I was obviously one of them. But being like, who are these fucking weirdos?
That weirdo is Vanessa's boyfriend, who learned how to ohm just for her.
In a cognitive sense, I was well-versed in sex and jokes about sex. But as far as how that connected to my body and telling people that I desired it or expressing what I wanted in sex was very off-limits for me, and I didn't know how to bridge that gap.
This, by far, when I talk to my friends about the cool and weird things I'm doing, has gotten the most attention.
Well, why are we not doing it right now?
Exactly. Is that what you want?
You know what? You know what? I want to see a diagram. Show me on the doll first, and then...
Well...
So you're not supposed to get an orgasm?
You can. It's not shamed, but that's not the...
The goal is not...
And by the way, in their terminology, an orgasm is the whole process, but climaxing is what is what you're describing.
Do you have a steady omer?
You could go with your wife, John.
But why would I do that? I can just stay home and do that.
Everybody is super skeptical. For some, it sounds like I just said, hey, I'm going to go out and hire a hooker for the night.
Well, you know, I have a friend who used to work at Playboy who got very expanded, and she was like really trying to convince me to go to this woman in Vegas who gives apparently the best hand jobs.
You're kidding.
No.
To women?
To everyone, yes. And I was like...
Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it.
Oh my God.
So how did Vanessa get started in all this anyway?
So in my 5-year relationship that I was just getting out of, our sex life was few and far between. And I had very randomly, spontaneously been invited to some demonstration in downtown Hollywood by a friend.
And describe exactly what happened.
I see this beautiful woman come out. Her name is Nicole Deadon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the author of Slow Sex, The Art and Practice of... Nicole Deadon.
I look up to her. She's taught me so much.
Is she the one who runs
She it? Is the one who started the practice. She has a TED Talk.
So I'm just going to break the ice for us, okay? My topic is female orgasm.
And I get there, and they're like, oh, the demonstration is of an orgasmic meditation session. And I was immediately... frozen.
Wait, you didn't know before?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, because that at that time, I suppose you probably wouldn't have gone, right?
I probably would have stayed frozen wherever I had heard the news, yeah.
Female orgasm is vital for every single woman on the planet. The second is, it's not so bad for the guys either. The third, and on a much more serious note, is that it roots our fundamental capacity for connection.
So she comes out, but I don't know, I have no, you know, no knowledge, previous knowledge of her or the practice. She comes out and she starts talking about the clitoris and how this is a part of the body that has more nerve endings on it than any other part of either gender's body.
They were saying some version of, I'm hungry. There's this gnawing sense of hunger that I can't quite reach. I don't know how to touch it. So I was very clear, and I would say to them, orgasm, and they would say, huh?
And that it can create lots of electricity, and it actually responds to lighter pressure, not more pressure, which is what we're, you know, we're taught in sex to go faster, stronger, harder.
People were coming to me saying things like, I've been married to my partner for 28 years and we haven't touched for 18. Or women were coming to me and saying, I just roll over at night and I hope he doesn't touch me because I don't want to fake it again. Or men were saying, I want to do everything to please her and I cannot figure it out.
And she's like, that's not the case. And then also this thing, this orgasm, this energy that comes from the practice is an invisible yet tangible, you know, like an invisible but real part of our our bodies.
You know, when I logically think about this and I think about how hard it is to meditate, you know, to really get into the present moment, I think if somebody had their finger on my clit the whole time, I'd probably be in the present. So they may have something here.
And so that you can know what the practice is, so that you can go home tonight and try it, I'll describe what he did. I was lying there, my legs were butterflied open, and he did what you would always expect in a sexual act. He took a light and shone it down there. And then he began to describe what he saw. He said, your outer labia are coral. I'm noticing that your inner labia have this red tone to them, and they're swelling as I look at them. And I couldn't hear anything after that because the tears just started flooding. Something began to thaw in me.
All of the things that come up in this simple practice that really only has 12 steps, all of the blocks and barriers and stories you've told yourself and hang-ups you have around your body or your sexuality, and all of this is brought to the surface by this one practice.
I had never been looked at or felt that kind of compassion in that area before. So then he sat next to me and he put his right thumb at the base of my introitus, which is the area you would enter were you to have intercourse, and he took his finger and stuck it in lubrication. And then he pulled his finger up and he put it on the upper left-hand quadrant of my clitoris. Now the upper left-hand quadrant would be, were I facing you, the 1 o'clock position where my clitoris o'clock. And he stroked. And he stroked up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, no firmer than you would stroke your eyelid, that tender tissue there. So it was great because nothing happened.
It's a goalless practice. So if your goal is climax, then you are potentially missing out on the rest of the depth of the practice. And what climax is losing consciousness when the sensation gets so high that you climax. You literally, it's the petit mort, right? Mm-hmm. Your little death.
Yeah.
You go over. So because it's a consciousness practice, you're actually trying to stay conscious through the edges of that experience. So you're bringing yourself to the extremes of all of these sensations, and instead of contracting to climax, you are trying to relax and meditate and stay conscious for all of those feelings.
I was thinking about whether or not I was doing this thing right. I was thinking about whether or not this guy was kind of creepy. I was thinking about whether or not I was going to marry him. I was thinking about whether or not my stomach looked a little poochy. And then all of a sudden, the traffic jam that was my mind broke open. And it was like I was on the open road and there was not a thought in sight. And there was only pure feeling. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I had access to that hunger that was underneath all of my other hungers, which is a fundamental hunger to connect with another human being.
The community itself is very sober.
Uh-huh.
Like all the events, there's no drinking, there's no drug use, there's no, it's
wow.
really encouraged that sobriety is important because again, from a consciousness standpoint, you're trying to bring attention and consciousness and awareness to this place where really we don't have a lot of.
You know that song by Adam Ant, "Don't drink, don't smoke, what do? You ohm and you do deprivation tanks and you do all kinds of weird things.
Nancy, right. I am convinced that you created this whole podcast just to try oming.
Sure.
It's the perfect plan.
So if my unconscious was at work, my conscious was still reluctant. So I asked Vanessa if she would come over and just talk me through it.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, so I have to kind of criticize the room a little bit.
Okay.
So in Om, it's nothing extra. So there's no candles or good music, nothing to like make you feel like
good.
Well, it's just.
I would not have called the room romantic, but I guess looking around, it suddenly did seem romantic. I had some candles lit. Okay.
It's not that there's nothing to make you feel good. It's just that
you
don't want to add anything onto the practice. Because it always should be the exact same, and we're kind of trying to keep it clinical.
Okay.
That makes sense.
We weren't even doing this for real, and my skin was crawling.
The first step is asking for an om. It's not, would you om me, or can I om you?
Mm-hmm.
It's, would you like to om?
Okay.
It's very straightforward. It's always the same. There's no added, like, coquettishness, or not like, would you like to om later?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a part of this that is supposed to be like meditation. Like, hey, do you want to go do yoga with me?
You have a yoga mat. You have a meditation pillow for the stroker's butt. You have a pillow for your head and 2 pillows for your legs. You have those?
And then there is, of course, the fact that you're spreading your legs and pulling your pants down in front of somebody. So it's an odd juxtaposition.
It was the hardest thing in my life to ask, would you like to om? That was like so embarrassing to me because I had to admit that I wanted to do this practice that seemed so crazy. I had to risk them saying yes or no and me having to deal with the feeling of rejection. Like, it brought up so much even before I started practicing.
This is not the meditation class your guru talked about.
So the only answers are yes and no. Once that's happened, you set up a time.
This is step one.
This is step one.
There's 12 steps.
12 steps.
Okay.
So we got it. So would you like to own?
Hypothetically, yes.
I set up the nest and laid down like she told me to.
A wonderful part about the practice is being able to voice things that we don't usually voice.
Okay, what's in your hand?
So then I have the face towel.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever laughed like that in my life. Seriously.
Lou.
Oh, wow.
And gloves. The practice is always
gloves.
Even if you're in a monogamous relationship oming with your monogamous partner, you always wear gloves.
Why?
A bunch of reasons. One, the lube will not absorb into your finger, so it'll last longer on the glove. Two, it keeps it a practice different from your romantic.
If I sound preoccupied, it's because I'm watching her take lube and put it on her rubber glove. And even though she says she's not going to touch me, this is getting a little too real.
So it'll go for 13 minutes and then it'll bell again. And the last 2 minutes is like the come down.
Just chill out.
It's just when everything kind of slows down. Okay. And then ohm. Because there are upstrokes in an ohm and downstrokes. And a stroke is as light as you would touch your eyelid.
I don't touch my eyes because I had some eye surgery.
Well, like as light as you would touch.
Okay.
I had a torn retina. I actually had two torn retinas. Anyway, it's a long story. But in any case, she had me lie down. She put her leg over me. And it was very relaxing. But, you know, it's just like hanging out, chatting with your friend who's got their leg over you. You know how that goes.
So now is the stroking portion of the ohm. Mm-hmm. So like I was telling you, you stroke as lightly as you would touch your eyelid. It's not like a rub. And
do it on my hand.
Okay. So it'd be like this. Like this.
Wow.
That's an upstroke. And then this is a downstroke.
I basically have my fist out and she's taking her finger and putting it in the crease of my two knuckles and just lightly pressuring. And the reason why I'm saying wow is it kind of seems like that's pretty light.
Now, the amazing thing isn't just that you can hit that place, it's that you can hit it with another human being.
And there's the rub, pun intended. I mean, I could see doing this if I was in a committed relationship with someone and we were like, let's go to this place and learn this thing and then go back home and do it. But a lot of this is about choosing people who you might not even be attracted to. I mean, it's supposed to be like finding a tennis partner.
But then as soon as you start practicing, you are like, oh my God, people are people. And you end up now feeling people, and so you care so much less about looks.
Well, we're at minute 19, and you're probably wondering at this point, will she or won't she?
He's down to ohm.
I love DTO.
DTO.
Down to ohm.
But there was one problem. I didn't do the normal class that they have. I did it through Vanessa. So where was I going to meet someone?
I cannot organize your ohm or set you up with an ohm partner.
Okay.
This practice is about your desire to do the practice and the other person's desire to do the practice. So it's not like, I can't be a liaison.
So even if I wanted to do this, she was about to go out of town. I have a podcast to put out. And then I thought, well, what if you set up a coffee with somebody that you know? And then I can interview him for the podcast. And if it seems right, I'll ask him.
If you're feeling it, then you say, would you like to ohm? And he says yes or no.
So Vanessa called her friend, who also learned how to ohm at One Taste, which is where you can go in Los Angeles to learn how to do this, or online. And he was like, sure, I'll have coffee.
Well, I, let's see, how I discovered orgasmic meditation.
I'm not sure he wants me to say his name, so I'm going to make up a new one. Roger, let's say, met me for coffee, and he came in, really sweet guy, probably in his early 50s, but very fit and attractive.
So it's no coincidence that I found myself in a career where I have to have really clear boundaries. I'm a massage therapist, I've been doing that for 28 years, and...
Okay, so saying I'm a massage therapist is pretty much a huge turn-on. I'm like, okay.
On the one hand, I could say here I was in this career where I had to find my... I had to be really clean about boundaries.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's no coincidence.
Yeah.
That it was a way to actually have to avoid really confronting my shame and fear, embarrassment around my desire, really.
Yeah.
But I have to say, there was nothing sexual about our encounter. I mean, it probably didn't help that I brought my podcasting equipment.
I went on in my life being really constrained sexually and found myself to be painfully shy.
But there was just a sort of slight, I could tell from him, like, why are you doing this exactly?
In so many different expressions, of course, nowadays, I mean, with what's in the media right now, everything from mildly inappropriate behavior to criminal behavior. I mean, you have the whole spectrum, because as boys, it's not safe to be curious.
Safe. Yes, that's exactly how he felt to me.
But I see that it actually has a place in the healing realm.
And after we talked for around 20 minutes, I was like, this guy isn't the love of my life, but that's not the point, right? It's supposed to be like doing yoga with someone. So I guess I'm supposed to ask him.
I'm supposed to ask you, would you like to own? Would you like to own?
You know, I think we should wait.
Okay.
I'd like to meet for coffee or something and just kind of make more of a connection first.
Yeah. And then he sensed that I was thinking that's what I should do. And very smartly said no.
Like I'm doing this on a dare.
Yeah. Which is like part of your thing. Okay, I'm just doing it to do it.
Right.
So, guess what? She didn't.
Yeah, I totally respect you. You shouldn't be oming just for the podcast. Like, that makes perfect sense to me.
Would I have done it if he had said yes? Probably.
I'm totally DTL.
You're DTL, but not for the wrong reasons.
But I'm so grateful I didn't, because it gave me a moment to just sit back and realize, okay, do I want to do this or don't I? And if I do, should everything I do be for a podcast? I mean, maybe I need to experience it on my own and then podcast about it if I feel like it.
Then have a Nansformation on your own. A behind the scenes.
I like that, a private Nansformation.
A private Nansformation.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not, and just really tune into if that desire is there and where that is. And we could go, there's tons of fun community events happening. We can go to Turn On, which is like a game night that they throw. And there's no oming at the events. It's more just a place to get to meet people, meet other practitioners.
So, until then, to be continued. My name is Nancy Hauer, and this is My Number One.
You know what I think? I think you should make the podcast.
Yeah.
Express your experience.
Yeah.
Be honest. And then just go do it for Nancy.
And as always, thank you all for being such an incredible audience. If you like this, please rate and share and comment on iTunes. I love to hear from you. And maybe I'll see you next week. Or maybe not.
This is what they would call sweeps week in television.
That's great.
Do you think there's a sweeps?
This is a huge cliffhanger.
You know, this is the end. Maybe I should end the series here with this cliffhanger.
I kind of love it.